Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalayim Master Shani Daf Mem Vav, and we're starting about the third line with the words of Zeir Abayi. And in Vilna Torah Sadaf, it's about halfway through Chav Chas Amud Aleph. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Merim Sarah Basir Yaakov Maisha Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So we had learned yesterday in the Mishnah that there's three different things a person has to be mitzayin. He has to mark off. So I think Mar tells Reb Zeir Abayi. Reb Zeir asks the following question: Lama Linan Amrin? Why don't we say Kol Echad Vechel Lefi Mashahu? Each one as it is. Kada the Tony, like we learned in the Braisa. The following Braisa is going to tell us a whole bunch of other things that have to be marked. So why didn't the Mishnah include those? What are these things that have to be marked? Ilan Shal Hektish, a tree that's owned by Hektish. Sarkar Nosev Asikra, it has to be painted with red. Bati Avad Zara, a house which is used for Avad Zara. Mefachman Osev Bechamin, it's colored with coal, showing people that it's Usser. Bias Hamanuga, a house that has Tsaras, Nosev Olav Efer Mikla, ashes are put on it to show that it's Usser. Makam Harug, Bedam, if a corpse was found outside a city, so we have to bury that corpse and then mark the place with blood in order to be able to go through the Egla Rufa process. And Makam Egla Rufa, the place where the actual Egla Rufa happened, Bechagur Shalavanim, a stone fence is put over there. So why not mention all these things in the Mishnah? I wouldn't have an answer to the question. Now we focus on the first thing mentioned in this Braisa, which was that a tree owned by Hektish is painted with red. Now here's a potential problem. Chash Loimar, shouldn't we suspect that people are going to say, Shema Ilan Shehu Menal Peirosavhu, that maybe this is a tree which sheds its fruits early, and that's why it's painted with red? Because V'loi Kein Tani, don't we have a Braisa that tells us, Ilan Shehu Menal Peirosav, a tree that sheds its fruits early, meaning it drops the fruit before it ripens, Soikin Arsa B'Sikra, it's painted with red paint, Umat Inin Oisei Avanim, and stones are placed on it, Umavasin Le Di Avad, and we so to speak scare it so that it should work and not drop its fruits early and have them ripen fully. And this also is an impetus that people daven for the tree so that it produces properly. So aren't we afraid that if we're going to paint a Hektish tree red, people aren't going to think that it's Hektish. They're going to think that it's a tree that has a problem and they should daven for it and that it's not Hektish. So our answer is Taman over there, Duloyatir Peroi. The reason why it's being painted red is that it doesn't drop its fruits. Bram Hacha over here, Diavad Kitchila, this is done originally. In other words, over there, when the tree is dropping the fruits early, it's only painted red after the fruit starts growing. Whereas a Hektish tree is painted before the fruits start growing, so there's an obvious hecker. Now, Rav Yonah asked the following question, V'lomalina marin, why don't we just say the following, chot shel sikra, that when we say that we paint a Hektish tree red, it's just one line of red on the tree, like the chot ha-sikra, which is the line that went around the halfway point of the Mizbeach, zechel Mizbeach, and this is remembrance on the Mizbeach, kaitanin tamal, like we learned over there in Mishnah, chot shel sikra, chagre be'emtza, there's a line of red in the middle of the Mizbeach, lahavchen b'dam melyem, l'dam tachtonim, to differentiate between upper blood and lower blood. The blood of a carbon chatos was sprinkled on the upper part of the Mizbeach, and other carbonos were sprinkled on the lower part. And in order to mark that, there was this red thread around it. And so Rabbi Yonah is asking, why don't we just say that that's the difference between the red of the Hektish tree and the red of the tree that's dropping its fruits? And the tree that's dropping its fruits is painted almost completely in red, whereas the Hektish tree has just one line of red, and that's Zechel Mizbeach. And that would be a great answer. And Mem Vavon Beis on top, we have another answer. Tanur Rabbi Chia tells us, Sekrin Olav Besikra Hektish. Then when we say a Hektish tree is painted in red, that doesn't just mean we slap some red paint on it. That means we take red paint and rewrite the word Hektish on it. I wouldn't have a question to begin with based off of this. Now the Gemara tells us, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amr Dover Echad, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they say the same thing. Kamad Rabbi Yisrael Amr, just like Rabbi Yisrael says, Ein Anu Achrayin L'Ramayin, that we're not responsible for Ramay, for swindlers or cheaters or deceitful people. Ken Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also says this, Ein Anu Achrayin L'Ramayin, we're not responsible for deceitful people. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we had in our Mishnah. He had said the only time we mark a Kerem is during Shemitah, when the produce is Hefker, so we have to tell the people coming in, by the way, you should know, it's Karim Ravai. But other years, we don't have to mark it because who's coming in to take this fruit? Somebody who's dishonest, a Ramai, somebody who's stealing it. And we're not responsible to make sure that he doesn't eat Karim Ravai. Now, what's Rabbi Yisrael referring to? So back then, it was common that one staying in a kretschmer, an inn, would give produce or raw food to the proprietor to make for him. And in Maseches Demayim, the Mishnah tells us that if a person gives produce to an unlearned innkeeper, he has to separate Maaser twice. Once beforehand, and another time when he gets his food. And that's because the innkeeper is suspected of switching it. So therefore, we have to make sure that the food that the innkeeper is receiving has Maaser separated, and when the guy gets his food back, he has to suspect this is actually different food that he gave the innkeeper, and that's why he has to take Maaser off again. Now, Rabbi Yossi argues that he only needs to separate from that which he receives. And what about the innkeeper who's going to be eating his produce? Well, Rabbi Yossi holds, Ein on Rachel Ramayin. And this innkeeper decided to steal this guy's food. Well, tough luck on the innkeeper that he's eating not Maaser'd food. And so it seems to be that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are saying the same thing. However, the Gemara tells us not so quick. Mr. Rabbi Yossi yod the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo yod the Rabbi Yossi. It's logical to say that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not agree to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi yod the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The reason why Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is because she'ein on Rechon L'Ramayin. We could apply this svara in both scenarios. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lo yod the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel does not necessarily agree to Rabbi Yossi, and why is that? She'ein derech chaver l'haytzu imbeisa davar she'ein metukin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold in Rabbi Yossi's case that even so, even though we don't care about Ramayim usually, in this case the person would have to take off meiser of that which he gives to the innkeeper because a chaver, someone who's careful with shumas and meisres, always makes sure that whatever leaves his house or his chaver's possession has maaser separated. Even though we're dealing with a rami here, it doesn't make a difference. A chaver makes sure that his stuff is maasered. And that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel would not necessarily agree to Rabbi Yossi. And continuing to explain the mission, we had sefer shel kvaros v'chulu. So the Gemara asks, minayin letzion? How do we know that we have to mark a grave? Who says? Where do we get this from? What's the source? So Rav Brechia says in the name of Yaakov Bar Bas Yaakov, b'shem Rav Chunya d'bras chavron, whereas Rabbi Yossi Amalar, Rabbi Yossi says it in the name of Rav Yaakov Bar Acha, b'shem Rav Chananya d'bras chavron, not Rav Chunya, but Rav Chananya, and Rav Yecheskel, that's the proper girsa, he says in the name of Uziel Bered Rav Chunya d'bras chavron, b'shem Rav Chunya d'bras chavron, that what's the source? The pasuk tells regarding Mitzayra, v'tamei tamei yikra, he should call out that he's tamei, and we learn from here, k'deish t'tei ha-toma k'ayra l'cha b'fiel v'ayimeres l'cha p'raish, that when someone or something is tamei, it has to be known to the extent that it's like the tuma itself is calling out with its mouth, telling you to go away, stay away, there's tuma here. And that's the idea of being mitzayin a kever, to marking a kever, and that way it's ke'ilu the kever is calling out, I'm tuma, stay away. Now Rav Hillel says, b'shem Rav Shmuel Nachman, we have a different source. The pasuk in Yecheskel tells us, v'avru ivim ba'aretz, and people will be walking through the land, v'ra etzem adam, they're going to see the bone of a person, u'bana etzlei tzion, and build a marker by it. Now what do we learn from this pasuk? So we begin from the word etzem, and what do we learn from here? Mikan shemetzayin nal tzamos, this tells us that we're going to make a tzion even by a bone. As long as bone is large enough, then it's going to create tumas oil. That bone itself needs to have a tzion. What do we learn from the word that says adam? Mikan shemetzayin al shizer v'al gogolas. This tells us that we're going to make a tzion, a marker, near the spinal column or skull of a person. When the pasuk tells us ubana and it should be built, mikan shemetzayin al gabe evan kavua, we learn from here that the marker has to be done on a stone which is set into the ground and not something that moves. Because imo emer atal tlusha, if you're going to say that the marker could be made on a stone that moves and it's not in the ground, this stone is going to end up moving and be metami in a different place, because if this stone is marked that there's tuma here and then it ends up getting moved, well then we really have two issues. Tahar things are going to go over that stone and people are going to say, oh, they're tame, but they're really not, because the stone is not tame, it's marking a place which is tame, but again, since the stone moved, the place is not tame anymore. And also people are going to go to the original spot thinking that it's tahar because there's no stone anymore, and they're really going to be tame. And that's what we learn from the word ubana, it has to be built, meaning the stone has to be in the ground. Continuing with the pasuk, we had said etzloi. What do we learn from here? B'makam tahara, that the tzion, this marker, is placed in a tahar spot. It's not directly over the grave, it's right next to the grave, and that way people will be stopped before they actually hit the grave. And lastly, mem zayin alef on top, was the Mishnah tell us, tzion mikam letzion. From this word in the pasuk, we learn that a tzion, a marker, has to be made for a grave. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.